enjoyed it every night. Mouthful. And I've certainly enjoyed being with you here today, this week. Look forward to what God has us for us hereafter. Now, in your Bibles tonight, in the book of 1 John. 1 John. And the 8th verse. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now it is my understanding, and what I could get in the Greek from that this is oracio, E-R-A-S-S-O. And it doesn't mean a sin occasional, but a habitual lifestyle. And continuing without any repentance from toward God and faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. 1 John 3:8. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. And notice this. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest. Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
I want to share a companion passage that I believe fits well with this in Genesis chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 14 and 15, we read these words. And this is right on the heels of sin entering this world. Adam and Eve are still in the Garden of Eden. The ground has not yet been cursed for man's sake. But here is the judgment that God speaks of with regards to the devil and his seed. Mm-hmm. We read in verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent. Now that is the old red dragon, the old serpent, the devil.
Yes.
Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now that sounds bad, but it's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
God said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And it gets even worse than that. And between thy seed and her seed. And it gets worse than that.
Yep.
Her seed, it shall bruise thy head, devil. And thou shalt bruise his heel. I want to keep that thought in mind about the enmity that was instilled by God Almighty as a result of the devil's sin. Verse 8 of 1 John 3 says, the devil sinneth from the beginning. He committed the first sin the universe ever knew. And then he deceived Eve. And Adam chose to follow her. And thereby has plunged this earth and the human race into the state that we are in today.
Mm-hmm.
And the only hope that has ever been given for any individual that ever walked on the face of this earth was in the seed of the woman.
No.
And there's only been one individual that ever was born the seed of the woman. Every one of us here are from the seed of man.
Mm-hmm.
Fertilizing the egg of the woman. But the Lord Jesus Christ had no human earthly father. And he was made of a woman. Galatians 4:4. He was of the seed of a woman. I do not understand this, but I'm telling you it's the truth of God.
Yes.
That a virgin conceived and bore a son. And his name was Jesus. Mm-hmm. For he shall save his people from their sins.
Right.
I asked Sister Pack earlier this week if she would sing that song tonight. Because I want to try to preach, if God will help me to, upon the thought of the greatest battle the earth's ever known. The greatest battle the earth has ever known. Now that's making a statement.
Mm-hmm.
Battles and wars are not new to this planet. I submit to you that there have been literally tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of people that have died in wars since creation. And that hard on the heels of man's sin became the murder of Abel by Cain, his brother. And that was but a beginning of things to come. Mankind has since that day sought out many new inventions to destroy, maim, cripple, and kill. Fellow man. Down through the ages of time, I would say in particular, since the Tower of Babel, when God brought different languages into existence, and when men had difficulty in communicating with one another, and when pride, greed, envy, jealousy, desire for land and power has caused so many wars on this earth,
mm-hmm,
that I doubt they could have all be recorded by any human. I thought, and I did not research this, but I thought that it would be far more difficult to find a decade of recorded human history that had no conflict than it would be to find a decade that had conflict.
Yeah.
Now that I'm saying that the majority of the earth's history had conflict somewhere on the planet.
Yeah.
And oftentimes many places at once on this planet. But of all the wars that have ever been fought, and of every battle that has ever been waged, the greatest one that ever was fought is the one that we read about tonight. It is the battle between God's Son, Jesus Christ,
amen,
and the devil on the cross of Calvary. You say, preacher, they didn't battle. Oh, yes, they did. Oh, but yes, they did. The Bible says that Jesus Christ had a purpose to be manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
And as we think about this tonight, I would like for us to think about the champion of this battle. Now we have here the indisputed, undefeated champion of the universe. He who has never had a tie, never had a defeat, nothing but victory after victory after victory by our champion.
Yes.
This champion is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the ultimate manifestation of what man could and should be as God's creation upon this earth. He performed that which God placed man on this earth and instructed him to do. Just obey him. Keep his word. Follow him. This champion is the firstborn from the dead.
Yep.
This champion is the only begotten of God this earth has ever known. He is higher than all kings, mightier than all angels. He is the champion. He is a person of renown. We could say he is the Ancient of Days. Time does not rule God. God rules time.
Amen.
The very length of the day and the numbers of the day of week were set in order in creation by Almighty God. What we know of our calendar today is based around this champion, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have history that dates before he was here, and we call that B.C. And we have history that's after he was here, and we call that A.D. But the center of it all is the Ancient of Days, our champion, Jesus Christ. This world at large battles against him. And as I spoke to you, Pastor, earlier today, we were riding along, I don't know where, talking, and I said, it astonishes me at the ignorance, I don't know what else to call it, of professed atheists to fight against God, who they say doesn't exist. I do not understand why you would fight against something that doesn't even exist. I don't understand that. Now, they may say they don't believe in God, and they don't. But if God intervened, they will. Amen, brother. Less than a second after their breath leaves their body and their heart ceases to beat, they'll know that the champion reigns and rules over it all. This renowned champion was a very great hero. A lot of people today have heroes that fight over a ball. But we've got a hero that fought for us. We've got a hero that entered the battle. Not because he was short of anything, but because we lacked everything. We have a champion who could do and did do for us what we never knew we needed, what we couldn't do, and what we wouldn't do.
Amen.
Even if we could. He is our champion. We have a champion who willingly gave himself, not as a victim, but as a victor.
Yes.
He was not forced. No martyrdom in his death. He willingly laid down his life. Having loved his own, he loved them even unto the end.
Amen.
He tore the testimony before Pilate. Pilate, you think you're something, but I want you to know I'm the champion. As a matter of fact, just so you can understand what I mean, you have no power over me at all. Except my Father says you can do it.
Right.
Except my Father give it to you. And listen, Pilate. By the way, you can carry out whatever sentence you want to, and you can give whatever you declare, but I'm telling you, I've got power to lay my life down, and I got power to take it up again. And anything you can do about it.
Yeah.
Not one thing. Now, he's a champion.
Yeah.
He is the winner of it all. He is incomparable. And power and wisdom. Never a man spake like this man. Never a man did what this man did. He was totally unique. Hence his name may be known as Christ. The power of God.
Yeah.
And the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
And we rejoice in knowing such a champion. This battle not only had the champion, but there was a contender. And this contender was a powerful enemy. Do you know this contender was none other than Lucifer, the son of the morning, the archangel before fall, the highest created being ever existed, and the most powerful created being that ever has been. You say, preacher, you don't really believe that. Let me tell you, you look at the book of Jude. Okay? And the book of Jude says that even Michael the archangel, when contending over the body of Moses dares not bring a railing accusation against the devil.
Yeah.
That second most powerful of one that's ever been created said, "The Lord rebuke you, I'm not going to try it."
Amen.
Okay? Now that's the enemy. That's the contender and challenger that has taken on the champion. This once angel of light who had inhabited glory and honored and no doubt cried holy, holy, holy to the Lord God of hosts. Now, since pride was found in him, he being cast down of heaven is filled with madness, revenge, and enmity against Almighty God. And hence the God-man who came into this most damning and dangerous enemy that we have in all the world, the great adversary, the devil, who walketh about seeking to devour us, destroy us, and ere were it not for our great champion interceding on our behalf, no doubt would sift us and bring our immediate death to pass. But our champion stands in on our side.
Amen.
The works that the devil contributes to is murder, disease, division, discredit to God, and all forms of death. He was a liar from the beginning. He's the father of it. And he comes but to kill, steal, and murder. That's his aim. That's his desire. That's his goal. And this second most powerful, first most powerful created being that ever this earth has known, challenged Jesus Christ. And that old serpent, remember Genesis 3:15? Hanging on the cross of Calvary, our champion is wounded. Our champion is lacerated. Our champion is pierced. Our champion is bruised. And the old devil strikes a blow against his heels. And he says, "I've got it. I've got it." And when the Lord Jesus Christ cried, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and he says, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit," he gave up the ghost. I venture to say that the devil and all of the enemies of hell had a rock concert. Hallelujah! I knew I'd get him. He's dead. He's defeated. He's gone. We win. But wait a minute. That corpse of our champion. And that's all it was. A totally lifeless, limp body. Dead as anyone has ever been who lived upon this earth. Taken down from the cross because he didn't have any life in him. Prepared for burial and laid in the tomb, and the rock rolled over it. Jimmy, you shared with them since you and Mary got back about how that tomb really was sealed. You know, y'all probably knew this all your life, but I always thought it was just some big round boulder that they pushed up over it and sealed it. Come find out it's a circle stone that's been cut, maybe a foot or so thick, round, and they roll it to the right and left to open and close the tomb. I didn't know that. I was there and went in that tomb. Hey, you want to know something? It's the empty.
Amen.
A devil! I bet the old devil sat on that stone. They put the body in it, rolled the stone over it. Pilate set his guard, sealed it, and the old devil said, "I got him, I killed him, I win." He might have been the champion, but I'm the challenger and I got him. All that night, the next day, that night, the next day, that night. Wait a minute. Satan and the angels of hell having their party. But on that third day, after 3 days and three nights, the champion come forth. Yeah. Victorious over death, over hell, and over the grave.
Yes.
And now he ever liveth. And the old Satan, he did bruise the heel of our champion. Yeah. Let me tell you what the champion did. He bruised the devil's head. Mm-hmm. Now, I've had a bruise on my head, I've had a bruise on my heel, and I'll take it on the heel. Matter of fact, you can lose your whole foot and live, but you can't lose your head and live. Mm-hmm. And the injury to the head is more serious than an injury to the heel, and I'm telling you right now, our champion defeated and dealt a sure, condemning, destroying and condemnating in hell's flames, or like burn fire and brimstone to her at the challenger on the cross of Calvary.
Yeah.
Oh my, think about the conflict. We have the champion, we have the challenger, but what a conflict. You heard some of the song, didn't you? The earth shook from the voice of the conflict. The sun wouldn't shine. No doubt that Wednesday began for the majority of the people in and around Jerusalem, just like every other day then. And no doubt the old soldiers that were instructed to lead him away out of the city walked down and probably somewhere around a quarter to a half mile outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem, to what we were told, at least, was a crossroads. Probably the road to Damascus and the road to Jaffa at an intersection. It was a customary place. And our guy is telling us, and how he's such a smart man, so I kind of believe him. And it was a place that the Romans wanted to crucify because it was so evident and such a picture and such a threat to the passersby. You remember reading in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ how they passed by, wagging their heads, shooting out their tongue, mocking and jeering at him hanging on the cross? People coming in and out the road of Jerusalem, headed towards or from Damascus, are crossing, headed to a little seaport named Jaffa. This intersection was the standard place of crucifixion. If they are right in where they said it was at, do you know what's there now? The bus terminal. We couldn't, I don't know if Jimmy and him could, we couldn't get to the actual spot. We could see over where it was, see the stone mountain behind it that looked like an image of a skull engraved in it, even yet today, on that hillside. But beloved friends, I want you to know that this conflict was nothing like any other day or any other battle's ever been. I read a book in high school about the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And I'm telling you, it sounded like some kind of horrific and destructive weapon. Nuclear weapons, and I never can say that, but you know what I'm trying to say. Of our day, I have been told that there is enough of that existing on the planet to wipe out the planet as far as human life. But I'm telling you, that is nothing compared to this conflict. You say, well, wait a minute, only one died. Yeah, but who was he? And what did he accomplish? You know what was accomplished through the end of World War One, World War Two. You know what was accomplished through the end of World War Two? Korea. Mm-hmm. You know what was accomplished through Korea? North Vietnam. Hey, do I have to keep going on? Mm-hmm. And talk about Desert Storm, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, you know, and on and on and on. They never accomplished anything with all the deaths that came as a result of the totality of every war this earth has ever known. But this one, completely satisfied the demands of a holy God once for all.
Yes.
We talked, I don't know if it was last night or night before, about the reminder of sin every year when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, sprinkled blood on the mercy seat. He kept going. That tabernacle, that temple, that sanctuary had no place to sit down in it. And the priests never finished their work. They had to come back again and again and again. But our champion entered in one time. But he didn't take the blood of bulls and goats. You know what he took? He took the precious blood that flowed from his body. And he offered that to God. And God says, that's all I'll ever need to forgive you of all your sins. That's all I'll ever need. He did.
Yes.
What all the wars of man have never done. He has secured. Now follow me here. He has secured the certain deliverance of a multitude that's beyond the human capacity to number.
Yep.
Secured the absolute certainty of it.
Yes.
He has secured the absolute certain defeat of his enemy, the challenger, the devil, and all of his army. He has bridged by his own self the gulf that existed between God's holiness and man's sinfulness. He has provided in his own self the way that we might go to God and be accepted by God. Jesus did that. Our champion.
Yeah.
The conflict? Oh man. Read the 22nd Psalm. I thought I might preach on the 22nd Psalm. Read that thing. His agony was so deep that my tongue was just stuck to the roof of my mouth. So I'm dried out, just like an old clay pot that was put in a kettle. My heart melts within me, runs down into the midst of my bowels or stomach intestines. I say to my bones, they stare at me. Where the flesh was real to you. Satan does everything that God will permit him to do. Make that as agonizing and as horrific on the person of Jesus Christ as God would permit him to do. But Jesus won.
Amen.
Jesus won. That's the conflict. I got to hurry here because I want to get to the conquest. We've got a champion, we got a challenger, we got a conflict, but praise God, we got a conquest too. And I done shared a lot of it, so I won't spend any time much with it. I guess y'all knew it, might as well know this. Dad's still on that page, and I still got that, and I still got this, but we aren't going to get to it. Okay.
You've done that before.
Huh?
You've done that before.
Yeah, I've done that before, is right.
Amen, brother. Please.
They're a winner. And in this battle, the winner takes all of it.
That's right.
Yes.
The winner gets all the marbles. And he gets to take them home with him. And looky here, look, he played for keeps. You got to be a marble player from the back out in the sticks in Yadkin County to understand that. Sometimes we played marbles and we played for you. When you got through playing, you just give everybody's back to them. But boy, Jesus played for keeps. Mm. What he won, what he conquered, he keeps. Mm. And he won't lose any of it. Yeah. We lost a whole lot in that first Adam. But we got it all back, and no possibility of ever losing it again in that second Adam. Mm. The conquest is sure. The conquest is certain. The conquest is accomplished. Yes. And our Savior said, it's finished. The devil might as well have felt his skull crack. Because his head was crushed. You say he's still alive. Well, he'll be alive in 1,000 billion years from now, too. But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to like where he's at. Because God has a place prepared for him and his angels or demons, or devils. And it's a lake that burns with fire and brimstone where everyone who ever lived on the face of this earth whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be with him. You say, I don't want to live beside the devil, then don't go to hell.
That's right.
You don't want to live with the devil, don't go to hell. That's where he's at, or will be.
Yeah.
That's where he'll be. And it's never over. You better go on the side of the champion. You better flee to the side of the winner's side. And go with him forever and forever and forever. This was the battle of all ages. But it's done. There's no more wars. No more challengers for him. He faced them all and listened to them on his battlefield and still whipped them. And you know, that old devil never had a chance. Some were talking there at church the other day and says, doesn't the devil know what the Bible says is going to happen to him? I said, I'm sure he does. I really believe he does, because Revelation says that he gets really more active along over the tribulation period because he knows his time's short. Then, you know, he said, I ain't got much more time. Someone says it's insane for him to battle against God when he's already lost. I said, what's he got to lose? You know the only way he's going to avoid the lake of fire? Beat God. And he's not going to surrender. Because that enmity that God put between him and Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, still exists.
Yes.
And the Lord only could reconcile enmity. And he did that for all who ever believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you? Is that you? Don't go out here tonight into this rain, dark, dreary night, not knowing where you'll go if you die.
Mm.
So how can I know that? Believe on Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Trust him to save your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And his promise is that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
I just implore you to believe that.
Yes.
Believe it, Pastor.
Amen.